Welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. My name is James McDonald. I spend my days interviewing some of the most innovative people working in the tech industry and hear some amazing stories. Each fortnight, we release a new episode sharing these conversations. This podcast aims to showcase the tech projects happening right here in Newcastle, provide key resources to help you grow your tech career, and share insights into the future of the Newcastle tech scene. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. Today is a great day as I'm catching up with Kathy Lill, who I haven't caught up for a while. Kathy is Head of Product Engineering at HireUp, and we haven't caught up since the days of the Newcastle JS meetup, which was really, really good meetup to go to and have in Newcastle.
It was, yes. Hopefully we'll get something up and running again soon.
Yeah, so it's great to spend some time with you. So I thought we would just start by talking about your career to date and how you got into tech back in the day. I know that you've had a stint at CSIRO and also worked at Yahoo and now at HireUp. So if you can take us on that journey from when you first got into tech and what made you get into tech?
Yeah, I did communications at uni, so I didn't do software engineering. So I actually majored in sound and radio production. So oh, wow. It's very cool to be on a podcast and get to hang out with all the cool gear. But while I was doing that, I also just got into building websites. So
A bit of a passion for you.
Showing my age a bit, but it was still the late 90s.
Right. Then, so. Back in the day of flash banner ads and
yes, yeah. You know, at that time the internet was still kind of new and exciting I guess the thing I really liked about being in media was, you know, I was interested in kind of having something to say, I guess. And, you know, and I saw kind of media as like the way to do that. And when the internet came around, it was that, but so much more democratized. And I really loved that about the internet. That was the thing that I thought was really cool about the internet. You know, anyone can publish something on the internet. Anybody can go and build a website. Anyone can go and publish an article. You know, it was all pretty lo-fi, do it yourself back then. Mm-hmm. But I just really loved that idea of anybody being able to create something and get it out to everyone in the world. And
so did you take on client projects during that time, during your communications career
I did a little bit of radio, a little bit of TV, but yeah, also just started kind of building websites just sort of for fun and just for something to do and just to kind of put something out there, and that led to doing a few kind of client projects. And
so you started off more of a freelance web developer.
Yes. Yeah. So I did that kind of in my last year or so of uni. Brief foray into the music industry as well.
What were you doing in music?
I was in a band. In a local band, but I also worked for a local booking agent, booking all the kind of cover bands in the pubs.
All the gigs. Cool.
So I did that for a while as well. So I did a few kind of random things before I ended up kind of properly sort of settling on tech.
And what was your band called?
My band was called Twin Psych.
Twin Psych.
Yes.
Yeah. And was there...
Hello to any former bandmates out there.
And was there any particular pubs that you played at regularly?
Oh, all the old places in town. Yeah.
Was it a cover band? No.
All originals.
Is that great?
Yeah. Fantastic. All women. Five women hard rock band. Yeah, we used to play all the old places, the family and all that in town.
And who wrote the songs?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And what was your position in the band?
Keyboard player.
Keyboard.
Aww, yes.
That's one thing I didn't know about you. That's
really?
Great.
Yeah. It all had quite a kind of, and it was all kind of, you know, sort of AC/DC meets Faith No More type style of thing. Yeah.
Amazing. And so then when did you get your first tech job?
So I actually travelled for a bit. I did a bit of backpacking in the UK and just worked in pubs and, you know, worked stacking shelves in supermarkets and did that kind of thing. And
living the life.
Yeah. And when I came back, you know, I could see that tech was you know, it was becoming a job like that. That was maybe a career. And, you know, I think at that time media was pretty difficult to get into, but it didn't seem to have as much of a career path. I was interested in the technical side of media, so I wasn't doing, you know, to camera stuff, you know, it was the technical kind of stuff at the back. So there just didn't seem to be as much of a career in that.
Were you based in Newcastle at that time or?
I came back to Sydney.
Okay, yeah.
So I sort of traveled and I came back to Sydney.
Yeah, as most of us do.
Yeah, partner had a job in Sydney. So I went there and thought, you know, I'm going to see if I can turn this kind of skill that I've got into a career. And so I actually started off, I did quite a while in digital media. I was really keen to do something in that space still. So I started off working for a magazine publisher. I used to do the cover discs. So the name of the publisher, they're not around anymore, but we had some pretty high profile magazines. So we did official Xbox magazine, official PlayStation magazine.
Oh, how
we did
cool.
official, and we did the official Windows magazine, and we also had a bunch of computer mags. We did a guitar mag, my job was to do the cover CDs. So the CD that you got on the cover of a magazine that had all the little kind of had all the little demo bits of software on it.
Yeah.
So I kind of built a little database system and built a thing in a Macromedia Director and Flash to kind of have this cool interface for the CDs. And and that company, you know, we started doing websites for all those magazines. And yeah, so that was kind of my first job in tech and, you know, media tech, I guess. And from there I went to News Limited. So I worked on news.com.au for a couple of years as a front end engineer.
Yeah, wow.
And then kind of went on from there.
Back when they were when news was taking off online.
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of the first, it was sort of the second iteration of news.com.au. So the original version was there. When I joined them, we kind of started building the modernized version, which is not that different to what you see now. Mm. That was quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, good. And then from news.com.au you went to?
I actually did a brief stint in Newcastle at a company called Civica. Hi to all the Civica people out there.
Nice Civica, yeah.
So I did that for about a year, but then some people I knew from news had gone to Yahoo 7. So I went to Yahoo 7 for a while. Again, in the front end team, did a bit more traveling, worked at an agency in London, some really nice people at the other media in London.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I came back to be the kind of front end team lead at Yahoo 7.
Yeah, good. So you've always combined that original interest with communications and media with your tech career.
I did for quite a long time. Yeah. Although I think by the end of it, it got a little bit like the same problem all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're always kind of doing the same sorts of things. There were some really interesting projects in there around kind of embedded video, and we were just starting to do like on-demand TV stuff then. So there was a few interesting projects like that, but the majority of it was still kind of just very much the bread and butter of, news,
online media,
news content website and, you know, dealing with display ads and dealing with carousels and all that kind of stuff. So, I really like doing it. But I think as well kind of, you know, the media landscape changed a lot over that time and, you know, I guess became something that I was less passionate about than
very competitive and cutthroat, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think also I think the content became less important over time. I think that was an interesting thing to watch happen as someone who was really into, you know, building stuff on the internet, but also kind of into the, you know, I guess the idea of the media is like the fourth estate. And then, you know, I think when I was young, you know, you sort of had these hard-hitting journalists that would go and, you know, expose corruption and do these kinds of things. And I think one
starting to be part of that.
But I think what happened was that over time, you know, and particularly with digital media, it became a lot less like that, and it became a lot more about, you know, just pumping out stories that you think would get the most clicks, and putting stuff out there that was more
it's like everyone can publish the news these days.
Yeah, and I think there's less, the economic model, I guess, for news media is just so much different now than it was. There's still, you know, there's various models of kind of paywalling, you know, which again was not really my jam. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's all very kind of targeted. It's very much about targeting the things that you already, targeting news that you already want to read at you because of your interests rather than, you know, rather than kind of covering things because they have, you know, they have kind of broad social importance or whatever. So, I think I kind of saw that landscape change a bit and felt like I wanted to do something a bit different.
Oh, and something for good, and that's what led you to CSIRO.
Yeah, ultimately. So I did work at Campaign Monitor for a little while.
Okay.
I got to do a really interesting project there that was just very kind of cutting edge tech at the time. But yeah, then the job came up at CSIRO. Oh. And
what was the Campaign Monitor project you worked on?
That was, I say cutting edge for the time that we did it, but it was working on their drag and drop WYSIWYG email editor. So bringing that into the future a bit, which was a really cool project. But yeah, I think ultimately, you know, we did the project and the project was awesome. But, you know, after that, it was going to be BAU and, you know, what was kind of the next interesting kind of technical challenge. Yeah. And yeah, so then a role came up at what was then National ICT Australia, but that became Data61, which became part of CSIRO. But yeah, I went there to work on a really interesting project that was all about WebRTC. So it was using WebRTC to facilitate health allied health sessions. Mm-hmm. So things like for speech pathologists to be able to work with kids in the outback that wouldn't be able to make a session.
Awesome.
Yeah, things like that.
Telehealth and
web health. It was telehealth, and we also incorporated. So the reason we used WebRTC for that was because it has encrypted peer-to-peer communication, but also because there's a data channel with WebRTC. So you get video and audio, but you also get a data channel. So we use the data channel to do some interesting things like someone could plug in a pulse oximeter and the practitioner would be able to see in real time their results.
Oh, wow.
They could do interactive games for the speech pathologists. They could do interactive games with the kids that they were working with, things like that. So that is now a startup. That did eventually spin out.
Oh, wow, that's great.
It's called CoView. So go check out CoView. They're doing really awesome things in that space.
Yeah, great.
But I stayed with CSIRO and worked on just, all different sorts of projects with cool scientists.
Yeah, good. And you've always been sort of drawn to more that sort of the front end technologies and design and...
I wouldn't say so much design. Okay. I think I figured out early on that I'm not really a very good designer, that front end and design aren't necessarily skills that go together. But I did really enjoy, I think, building the part that people interacted with directly, you know, and front end hasn't always been the easiest space to work in, you know, particularly early on. You know, it was actually quite a tricky kind of technical landscape. You know, browsers were quite limited. There's differences between, you know, different browsers and the way they work. You know, there's kind of added complexity when people are using screen readers and other assistive technology. So I found that side of it really interesting. I really liked working on the part that actually had to kind of directly work for someone, the part that they're kind of interacting with. I'm a terrible designer. Probably an eye for design is as far as I would go.
And I know for a while there you're really interested in growing your career and leading sort of larger engineering teams. And at that time, this is before COVID happened.
You
know, there wasn't a great deal of opportunities around Newcastle, and you know, you've got your young family here.
Yeah.
And then I guess the pandemic happened and then it opens up all these other opportunities that you can work remotely from Newcastle, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
One good thing to come out of the pandemic.
That's true. Yeah. So I actually when I took the role at Data61, that was remote. I took that role on the condition that I could do it remotely.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I actually had been working remote for quite a long time.
Okay.
I ended up doing a project with some people at CSIRO in Newcastle. Mm-hmm. So I did go into the office and hang out with them.
Okay,
and eventually they bestowed a desk upon me because I've been hanging around so long. But I was mostly remote.
That's good. So you've been working remote for a long time then.
Yeah, and actually the teams I led, so I was leading teams at CSIRO as well. the project I went there to work on initially, I went in as an engineer, but once that project was done, I sort of started looking to, you know, I could see some gaps in the engineering function there. They didn't have a front-end team, so I kind of started a front-end team and I led that team for a while. And then, again, could just sort of see a gap in the way CSIRO worked specifically, where they would often kind of put single engineers on a project, on a research project, you know, and expect an app or a product or something to kind of pop out at the end. But it wasn't working too well. And as part of Data61 engineering, we had a bunch of really amazing engineers, we had designers, we had product managers. So I pitched the idea of putting together a product team mm-hmm. that could then go and work with research projects to kind of realize, you know, an app or some kind of product that would sort of put their, yeah, that would put their research work out, you know, to the public or to the market. So I led that team out of Data61, but we were able to actually go around and work with all different projects in CSIRO. So that was really cool and something a bit different. But that kind of gave me my first experience working leading a cross-functional team. I'd led front-end teams a couple of times, but I didn't have any experience with managing back-end engineers or designers or, anyone that wasn't sort of a specific front-end function. So that was a really interesting opportunity to get into managing a cross-functional team, and having to be across sort of how everything worked and not just how the front-end worked, which was super interesting for me. I'd always been very keen to understand how everything else worked as well as the part I was working on. It was really cool to be able to work and especially work with, all sorts of different research projects, you know, people just doing kind of some cool out there things and, you know, some of it was going to see the light of day and some of it might not. But getting to work in all different spaces.
And helping them bring that to life in their dreams.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And, you know, some of those research projects, people would work for years on those before they got to a point where they even sort of had something that was viable. It was really exciting to kind of work with people that were, just so committed to their project and really committed to their research and what they were doing. And to be able to kind of help them kind of realize something that other people could interact with and could kind of see the benefit of what they were doing was really good.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And then the role with HireUp came up. How did you find that role?
Yes. So actually that was through someone I knew who was working there. They had passed my name on and I hadn't been interested at the time, but then they were sort of following up on a few people they'd had earlier conversations with. And I was, as much as I was enjoying working at CSIRO, I think the landscape of the types of projects we were working on was starting to change and was not so aligned with what I was wanting to do. But I really wanted to, I was thinking about where to go next, and I really didn't want to let go of the social impact that I was able to have working at CSIRO. I had a lot of scope to work on the projects that I wanted to work on. You know, my team and I would, you know, we would look at projects together. We had a lot of latitude to pick projects that we genuinely believed had social benefit or environmental benefit or, you know, something that wasn't just kind of work for the sake of work or for the sake of profit. So I wasn't quite sure what to do with that, looking for a job elsewhere. And then HireUp gave me a call. JJ from HireUp sort of rang me and said, oh, you know, just wondering if you're looking at the moment. And I knew a little bit about HireUp. I knew a couple of people who had worked there. So she kind of told me about the profit for purpose mission of HireUp and what they were doing, and it just sounded like a really great way to kind of get back into product engineering, but still be able to work on something that has genuine social good, that is for profit but also for purpose, and a company where that's important still.
So can you tell the audience what HireUp's sort of mission is and their model and how it all works?
Yeah, so HireUp is a platform where NDIS participants can connect with a support worker and book their own shifts with their support worker. So
is it specific types of care that they offer, or is it across a broad spectrum of people living with disabilities or aged care, or what is the...
We only do disability sector.
Okay. Yep.
So we don't do aged care, but the way the platform works is that we employ the support workers, but we do have kind of an open intake of support workers. So long as they pass all our checks, they then can be onboarded onto the platform. We employ them as a casual worker to start with, at least. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to them to use the platform to connect with clients. But a big part of it is that it provides choice and control for clients. So, the original mission behind HireUp, the founders had a brother who had a disability. And the thing they had found was that it was very difficult for them to make their own choices and for their brother to make his own choices about which workers he worked with. So,
they spend so much time with them. They need to have some kind of connection with them.
Exactly, yeah. And I think they also found that when they were working with support providers that often they wouldn't necessarily send the same person, so it was hard to kind of build up a relationship with specific workers. And you didn't get much choice in the worker. So the original idea behind HireUp was to provide a platform where the clients and the workers can find each other and find, basically build a relationship that is going to work for them and that they have that choice and control. Yeah.
Very good. And you were what was the scope of your role when you were first hired by them? Because I know you've just got a promotion yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute. So what was the scope of your role and what problems did you have to solve when you first joined?
So I came in as an engineering manager to build a new team. So HireUp, so this was about a year and a half ago. They'd done a lot of work on the client and worker-facing aspects of the platform. But another thing that's fairly unique, I think, about HireUp compared to other sort of online platforms is that they have a really strong customer service team. So if we have clients or workers that are having difficulty using the platform or, have some limitations that mean they can't necessarily use the platform independently, we have a very strong customer service team that's there to help them and help them be successful in finding the right worker. Workers to find the right clients and to help sort of create those relationships and help them do what they need to do on the platform. And when I came into HireUp, they'd done a lot of work on the client and worker facing stuff, but there wasn't so much in the way of admin facing functionality. Yeah. So all our customer service people or all our admin people that were doing all this kind of work in the background to make sure that people were able to get the support they needed, they were having to do a lot of manual work. They were still kind of using spreadsheets and things like that for some of the aspects of their role. So I came in to start a new team that was going to be dedicated to building out those admin functions and making sure that our customer service people were able to do everything they needed to do sort of seamlessly and quickly, be able to help people as efficiently as possible. So I came in to build a new team to do that, which I did. So then, on to the next step, I guess.
Yeah. And so you just received a promotion to head of product engineering.
Yes. Yep.
Yesterday. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's very exciting. And what's the scope of this new role for you? Tell us about what you're tasked to do.
So it's a really exciting step for me. I'm going to be managing the product engineering teams. So we have 8 product engineering teams. So those are all cross-functional teams made up of engineers, designers, product managers. Our reporting lines are separate. So the engineers report into engineering managers.
Mm-hmm. And there's 8 teams.
Yes.
So you'll have 8 direct reports, which are engineering managers.
Eventually, then, yes.
Yeah.
So basically, the engineering managers for those teams will report into me, and then I report into the director of engineering.
And those teams are squads that work on separate parts of the application, are they?
Yeah. Correct. Good.
Yeah. Very good. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Exciting. So HireUp have been around for about 6 years, you said. So they're in more sort of scale up phase at the moment.
So we're looking to rapidly scale up at the moment. We've recently had an investment of $40 million from Seek Ventures, which we're really excited about and is enabling us to hire some more awesome people and just be able to do so much more for our clients and workers. So we're looking to hire. We're hiring across all roles in engineering. So do get in touch if this sounds like a place you'd like to be.
Yeah. A for-purpose organization.
Yes.
Yeah. it's doing great things. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And we're very active in the disability community as well. We have a really strong content team who are building out a really great content website. You know, they do news articles, they get out in the community. You know, we commission articles. So, you know, we've commissioned some articles recently, you know, sort of around, I guess, current events and, you know, things going on in the disability sector. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, you know, as well as kind of making sure that we're there as a really great service for our clients. We really care about making it a great experience for our workers, making sure that our workers, that our support workers have career opportunities, you know, making sure that they've got all the tools they need, I guess, to make sure that our clients get the support they need, as well as getting out in the community. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, good. And how would you describe the culture within your, within the broader business and your team particularly?
So as far as the broader business, HireUp's motto is a good life for everyone. And that is very genuinely held belief in HireUp. We, alongside having all our kind of business success metrics, we also have social success metrics. So we look at our overall impact. We survey our clients and workers on their overall experience of life. Is their life better this year than it was last year? Is their life better now that they're using HireUp?
Yeah.
Before when they weren't. And we take those metrics really seriously. We have an impact team that that is constantly looking at those metrics and looking at what we're doing across the whole business to make sure that that motto holds true, that you know, that what we're doing isn't just for economic success. It's also for
On the company website. It's actually something you're living and breathing.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it does permeate in a really nice way throughout the business. And I think all the teams take it very seriously. You know, our software engineering teams take that responsibility really seriously. You know, we operate in a, I think, a bit of a different way to a lot of companies in that we have that dual goal. And the goal of our clients and our workers having a good life is genuinely seen as equally important as, you know, hitting our kind of OKRs and our success metrics and all those things. So it means that, you know, if you can see something happening in the software that you think has a negative effect on people, it's really openly kind of welcomed to bring that up and raise it, you know, bring that into our kind of product strategy and our road mapping. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of influence that the technology team has around those kind of social benefits and, you know, around, you know, the safety of our users online, making sure that we're taking care of their personal information appropriately.
Yep. Yep.
All those things are really important to us, you know, and just as important as profit. So I think from the point of view of an engineer, it's a really empowering place to be because, you know, you're not kind of under that pressure of trying to balance those two things, you know. I think particularly coming from a front-end background, you know, sometimes you have this push and pull between, like, we've got to get the feature out, the feature has to work for advertisers. But I want to make sure it works for people using screen readers. I want to make sure it works for people using assistive technology. But that, you know, those things might be at odds in another company. But at HireUp, those things aren't at odds. At HireUp, those two things are equally important, and given the same space.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't think of it in that sense that you would have to, you'd have to be adapting your technology for people that have, you know, low vision or, you know, you know, other disabilities. So, Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people will access the internet. You know, screen readers, I think, are the ones that people think of a lot, but that's not the only assistive technology people use. You know, there's all sorts of different assistive technology that means that people will experience your website or your service in a different way. So we try and kind of be holistic in our approach to that too.
Mm. Very great.
Yeah.
So what is the great things about working for HireUp, and what are some of the benefits that the organisation offers, and what are some of the tech that you're working with, and is there, I know you've been particularly interested in functional programming languages in the past, is there anything like that coming up that would be interesting to potential employees and developers?
Yeah, definitely. So
engineers.
So I think as far as what it's like to work there, has a really incredible culture. HireUp has a very unique culture, I think, and you know, we spoke about that a little bit already, but I think if you're looking for somewhere where you really care about your work having a positive impact on real people, then HireUp is a great place to work because you can see that every day. And it's important. It's seen as important. And I think that's a really nice thing to have. But more broadly, it does have a really kind of fun, friendly culture as well.
Are people mainly remote, working remotely?
Pretty much, yeah. Most people are working remotely now.
There's an office in Sydney.
Yeah, so we have an office in North Sydney. We have options for people to work in the office, hybrid or full remote. If you're full remote and you're outside Sydney, then you also get 4 trips to Sydney per year, all expenses paid. So we pay for your travel, pay for your hotel.
Awesome. So you get to get together with the team.
Yes.
And, social events.
Yes, for sure. So we try and organise that around quarterly planning. Mm-hmm. So for every kind of quarterly planning and kickoff that we do, we invite all the remote people to come to Sydney and all get together and do some social things as well as having some time to work together. But we also have for people that are sort of close enough to Sydney or in Greater Sydney, you know, there's also kind of the hybrid option, if you prefer to be in the office a couple of days a week.
Yeah.
Not really many people in product are working full-time in the office anymore. Most of us are remote. I'm remote, working from Newcastle, and we have remote team members all over Australia. So we have quite a few people in Melbourne, I have people in Brisbane, people in Perth.
That's great. So yeah. How many people in your team currently?
In the whole engineering team?
Yeah.
Around 50?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
And we're growing that. So mm-hmm. And we're growing that in all departments as well. So we're hiring software engineers, we're hiring SRE people, tech ops, data science, data engineering, across all roles. We're really trying to build out all of those functions at the moment. So yeah, we've got something for everyone.
Oh, exciting. And how do as you as a leader, how do you like to lead your teams and how do your teams work all remotely and what productivity tools and communication tools do you use as a team?
Yeah, so we kind of use all the standard stuff. We use Jira for kind of tracking our projects. We use Slack a lot. I think that's an interesting thing about working for a company that's very social is that when all those people are not in the office anymore, then Slack becomes very a very kind of central part of your day. But I think that the way people use those tools is really kind of productive and very positive. You know, we don't seem to see too many issues with, the way people are using those tools. People seem to be using them, to have positive interactions with each other. We have a lot of kind of social channels. We have channels for parents and channels for people that are into music. And so there's a lot of kind of interest channels that people get into.
Something for everyone.
Yeah. And the way we work, so we work in a fairly typical agile setup, I would say. We do 2-week sprints, we do retros, we do sprint planning, we do demos of our work. We don't do that every 2 weeks. We found that was getting it was a lot of pressure on the teams to kind of, have something new to show the whole company every 2 weeks. So we've scaled that back quite a bit, but we have a showcase where we show off what we've done to the wider company when we've got something kind of big to show. So that's always really nice to have people from around the company and other departments kind of come and check out what product's been working on.
And what about some of the newer projects that are coming up that these teams might get to work on and initiatives that the company is releasing?
Yeah, so 2 big things that we're doing at the moment is where HireUp is trying to move a little bit more into the complex support space. So traditionally we've serviced more of the kind of social support space, which is the kind of support work where people can go and say, help someone go out for dinner or help them attend a day program or something like that.
Yeah, help them to enjoy their lives.
Exactly.
Outside of the day-to-day. Yeah.
But there's also a large part of the market that is complex supports where people need more more complex types of care that maybe might require more specific skills from workers. So a lot of the work that our team is doing at the moment is to facilitate that, so to make sure that we can support workers that are doing more complex types of support work. And also support clients that need those more complex supports. And a big part of that is something called Team Builder. So people that need complex supports tend to need those supports more often and on a more regular basis. So, you know, their needs will tend to be more, you know, something they need done daily, you know, or maybe weekly or X number of times a week. So they really need a support worker to be available. And it's more of a big deal if a worker can't make it at the last minute.
Yeah.
So a really exciting thing that we're doing in the engineering team is our data team is starting to build out some really cool data science tools to help both clients and our internal team builder team to help people build a team of workers. So using data science to find suitable workers quicker because we have a lot of workers, they don't all necessarily have the right skills for a job, but there's a lot of other factors that might make them more or less suitable to work with a client as well. And so we're really trying to leverage our data science capability to surface, you know, the workers that are most suitable for a client, that are most suitable for the type of work they want, for the schedule they want, the location they are. So there's some really exciting stuff going on there. We've also got some interesting work going on just in the around the way we communicate with workers. So traditionally, we've leaned very heavily on email and on personal phone calls to communicate with workers. But we're looking to kind of finesse that, you know, use SMS more heavily, use direct communications more heavily, direct messaging and things like that to kind of tailor the experience much better to what individual workers and clients want and need so that they can interact with the platform in a way that works for them. Mm-hmm. And we also have some really nice, I think, just sort of technical advancements going on more generally. We're really in a phase where we're consolidating our tech stack at the moment. And we're sort of moving from having experimented with sort of various different technologies and different stacks for different things, where we've really kind of zeroed in on our Node stack. Yeah. So Vue.js on the front end, Node, MongoDB. And we're basically in a phase of kind of bringing all our tools up to standard with that code base. So there's some work going on at the moment that is, I guess, not necessarily glamorous, but
developing some of those tools.
Yeah, but I think it has, you know, I find as an engineer, it's always nice to be able to spend some of your time making sure that, you know, you're using best-in-class tools, that you're doing things, you know, in the most appropriate way, that you're following best practices. And sometimes it's easy, I think, when you're kind of trying to get things out really quickly, it's easy to kind of leave those things behind. So we're really in kind of a consolidation and building phase now where, you know, we're spending time making sure that our tooling is right. We're spending time making sure that our tech stack, you know, is up to date across the board, that, you know, that we don't have kind of old dependencies and things dragging us down.
So you can scale and, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're really are building out to scale at the moment, which I think is always a nice thing to be able to do, is to spend a bit of time just getting it right. You know, there's kind of it's great to get features out, but it's also nice to just get the engineering right, and we're working hard on that at the moment.
Yeah, good. And so, how would you describe your leadership style?
So it's always an interesting question. Yes, it's very hard to analyze yourself. I think my style is very collaborative. I really like working with people. And I think it's really important that the whole team is kind of passionate about what you're doing, and that everybody kind of has that motivation, you know, and I think it's up to the leader to make sure that that is in place, you know, because people aren't going to feel motivated if what you're doing in the business doesn't align with their values, or
exactly.
If the way that you're building things doesn't align with the way they feel is the best way to build something. So I guess I hope at least
to balance getting that consensus though with different people in the team. And
yeah, I think it's not always about consensus. I think sometimes looking for consensus means that everyone will just be constantly arguing. So yeah. I think I have in my approach a little bit more of an idea of there's a time for discussion and then there's a time for decision making, and sometimes there is a person for decision making as well. So I think it's just really good to be clear about who is a decision maker? Are we all deciding together? You know, is there one person who is the most knowledgeable about this topic in our team, and they should make this decision now? Is it a management decision? I think sometimes a thing that people find difficult about management is being the decision maker sometimes. Mm. So I think it's nice to have consensus, but it's also, I think it helps your team when you can stand up and make a decision and stand behind it and not expect the team to constantly make all your decisions for you. And, you know, I like to try and find that balance as much as I can. You know, sometimes it's not always easy in the moment, but I think that's kind of what I strive for, is to get people behind an idea and to make sure people feel that they have buy-in and they feel like they have a say, but also be prepared to take a decision and stand behind it when it's needed.
So you're obviously looking for, when you hire and bring new people into the team, you're looking for that collaboration piece in those engineers as well, is really key and really important for your company, you know, as a brand and as a business.
Yeah.
And the culture. Yeah.
Yes. I think, and I think particularly the type of business at HireUp is and the type of culture that we have at HireUp is very much geared towards people working collaboratively. We tend to work quite a lot across teams as well. You know, one of my teams has been working really closely with the customer service and people and culture teams on initiatives we're working on. You know, other teams are working really closely with the team builder team. Our money team works really closely with finance. So it's really important to be able to collaborate across departments as well as just being able to collaborate with the people in your team. And we do find that some of the people that are really successful engineers at HireUp are really good at that. They're really good at being able to kind of talk directly to the other people in the business that we're working with as well as being good at collaborating in the team. But with that said, I think the thing that I look for most is just people that are passionate about what they do. And I think it's okay for that to be in different spheres. You know, some people are really passionate about the tech. They're really passionate about doing things the right way, you know, doing things in a way that, you know, it's built to last, it's built to be used. You know, it's not going to fall over. But for some people, that passion is really about what we're doing for users, you know.
Which is fine as well.
Exactly.
It's got a balance with the quality piece.
Yeah. So I think it doesn't always have to be in the same vein, but I think I always look for people that really care about what they do and have some part of it that they really care about, and they're going to bring that to the team.
Mm. And they're curious and want to understand how things work and, you know, what might benefit your customers and clients.
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
Yeah, good. And so... So that's about your sort of your team and what you're looking for. What about you personally? What do you like to do in your spare time? I know you've got your young family.
Yes, well, I have two small kids, so spare time is kind of a distant memory. Although I'm a little bit into cycling, I'm kind of into mountain biking, and
I do Glen Rock.
Yes, when I can, which is not very often these days. Oh. But I do also love kind of working on bikes.
I still try and take my son through there.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
while he still wants to go with me.
Yes. Yeah. My girls are quite little, so they're a little bit too young, but not for long. But I really love working on their bikes. It's like I get to fiddle with bikes and do some tinkering and mechanicking with the kids' bikes. So I spend half my weekend working on their bikes and the neighbor kids' bikes and getting them all up and running. It's nice when you're kind of staring at a screen all day to
do something with your hands.
Build something real.
Good on you. Nice. And do you listen to any podcasts yourself?
I'm actually not a big podcast person. Wow. Yes, I know. Controversially, I suppose.
In your media career.
On a podcast. Yeah, I know. I think, it's interesting. I think I'm a big music person.
Yeah.
So I think if I'm going to listen to something,
it's your favorite band? Music.
Oh, yeah, I have a lot. I don't really have a favorite band.
I do too. I'm just really into Gang of Youth at the moment.
Oh, right. Nice. Yeah,
Fighters.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah. See, that one, I can answer all your tech questions, but favorite music questions would take some. Yeah, I do. I listen to a bunch of stuff, but I like, you know, kind of like heavy metal, kind of listen to Iron Maiden, but then I also love Janelle Monáe. Like, she's awesome. She is. Azalea Banks. I don't know. I'm a bit of a kind of eclectic music person. Yeah, I like country. Kind of like, yeah, anything that I don't know. I think just anything that kind of speaks to you and kind of. I love music when it feels like art.
Oh.
You know, when it's someone's art and it's not just a product.
Yeah.
I think any kind of music that I think is made for the sake of art is something that I like.
Yeah, good.
Which could be anything.
Just
really.
Don't get to gigs at the moment very stuff. Much because of the kids.
Yeah, well, and the pandemic. Yeah. We used to, really miss that. Really miss going and seeing bands.
And Cambridge is not gonna be they're obviously turning into a hotel, so there won't be gigs there anymore.
Yeah, I think the music scene in Newcastle has seen sad decline over the last kind of 10, 15 years. There used to be bands everywhere and now not so much.
Well, where can people find you if, you know, they're a software engineer listening or a data engineer listening and they want to sort of have a chat to you about working at HireUp? Where can they find you? I know you pretty active, well, not active, but you're responsive on LinkedIn if someone wants to reach out to you.
Yes, definitely. I'm on LinkedIn for Newcastle people. I'm in the Newey Slack. I'm kind of a low participant on Twitter. I am technically still on Twitter. If you send me a message on Twitter, I will get it. I don't tweet too much anymore. Twitter turned out to be kind of a stressful place to be, I think, once a lot of stuff started happening in the world. Yes, definitely. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter.
Awesome.
Contact me through or through HireUp.
We'll have your LinkedIn details on the podcast notes anyway. Well, thank you so much. It was always good to catch up with you.
Likewise.
I just feel like it's
been
years since we've been hanging out at the JS meetups.
It's been great.
Good to see how your career's grown, and I'm really excited for your promotion. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Again. And I know there'll be some great people that want to come and work with you.
I would love that. Thank you very much. It's been great fun.
No worries.
All right.
Listening to this episode of Newey Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.neweytechpeople.com.au. Thank you.